I am not the bad guy. I am not the bad guy. I am not the bad guy, not the bad guy. No.
Good evening and welcome to the second installment of a very special three-part Trundlecast. Our attic-based after-dark slosh and the fetid blood of the virgins that keep Trundle Manor alive. Last week you got to hear the beginnings of our interviews with a vampire, a witch, and a black cat. What madness will be unleashed this time? Well, I guess you'll just have to listen and find out. So pull your ears out of their pickling jars and staple them back onto that melon you call a head, because this is the Trundlecast.
I'm falling down a million steps into a darkened wall. I am not the bad guy.
Our intro music is by Brian Vamp. I'm not the bad guy. I thought that was pretty fitting for Mr. Arm and Trundle Manor. Up first is going to be the Trundle Talk with Mr. Arm and Velda, speaking to you about this week at the manor. So sit back, enjoy, and keep your complaints to yourself. Now let's have a little trivia.
I am not the bad guy. I am not the bad guy, not the bad guy.
Welcome to Trundle Trivia with Velda von Minx
and Villy Don Trundle.
And we are going to give you the answers from last week's questions. So, to recap, my question last week was, what classic horror movie famously had its iconic sets reused to film a parody of it 33 years later? And the answer is Frankenstein from 1931. It had the sets reused in 1974 for Mel Brooks's film Young Frankenstein. The person who did the original sets was named Ken Strickfaden. He had made the sets for the Karloff original, and when Mel Brooks's film was being made, Mel Brooks found out the original person had his sets in his garage. He had kept them for nearly 30-some years, and he had found out this man was still alive. And he gave him screen credit in exchange for getting to rent the sets, famously. Billy?
And my history question last week was, which king of England was convinced that his bones were made of glass? And the answer to that was King George III, who reigned from 1761 to 1820, way longer than he should have. He never wanted to be king. He suffered greatly from many, many mental illnesses, none of which have had ever been successfully explained to this day, although many of the theories suggest that they were syphilis-related. And he was definitely given lots of medications, including mercury, which no doubt made it much worse.
Dear.
But most of his wardrobe consisted of iron bars in it to reinforce his glass bones, because he was convinced that if he ever fell over, he would in fact fall apart.
How wonderful to have a personal costumer that can contribute to your mental illnesses with you. That's
right?
Great.
And this is the King of England.
The very king.
Long live King George.
Well, thank you so much for Trivia Corner, and we'll be giving you a new question very soon. I'm Velda von Minx.
And I'm Villy Don Trundle with
Trundle Trivia.
I remember you told me once you thought that I should leave. You said I was a bastard without any empathy. Now I'm down at the crossroads and I don't know what to choose. You're blaming me for everything and no matter what I do.
Good evening, Trundle Files. This is Mr. Arm, and I'm in the attic, as always, with
Velda von Minx,
the other half of Trundle Manor. And apparently, there was a pretty good tour. We have a lot to talk about now, but she's dying to talk about this tour.
So. Oh, it was great. It was these two older ladies, and I think one of their daughters and husband as well, but they go to all these touristy things that are like us, the House on the Rock and Mitchell's Corn Palace and all those types of classic roadside Americana. But they said that during this tour we became their new favorite.
Nice.
Their past favorite was a place in Tennessee called Junior's Castle. It was one yet another one of those crazy people that had a religious vision that inspired them to build an entire castle. That somehow these crazy people always have money to do this kind of thing. It must be great. Must be real nice.
Yeah. I read about a guy that built a castle, and he did it with I think we were at the castle. But he made the bricks out of milk cartons. He would take old milk cartons, fill them full of cement. Yeah, it was at the steampunk thing. The castle.
Is that how he made it? I didn't realize that was the
same thing. You can actually see the imprint of some of the milk cartons in the thing. But yeah, you think, you know, how did he have the time to, not be working while he was doing this?
Yeah, how did you afford? He must have been independently wealthy, like grandfather was a 1920s newspaper magnate or something.
And you have to love that people were doing that, though.
Oh, I know. There's another one I want to visit that's, I think, in Florida that's it's made out of coral, and it's all these, it's been on some of those weird U.S. type shows, but the pieces are so giant that they're not movable by regular human means, and they think that he had some kind of electromagnetic lines or some kind of witchcraft, maybe, I don't know, something that he used to build this and to make it work for him. But now one day we'll go and visit all those other crazy places.
Definitely. I mean, we don't travel too much because Toronto Manor sort of eats our souls to some extent and keeps us here. But yeah, so you said this was their favorite place.
Yeah, we just became their new favorite, and I told them that we have movie night with Rocky Horror at midnight, and they just erupted in shrieks of shrieking.
I could hear them all the way in the attic.
Could you really? Yeah. That's ridiculous. Yeah. So yeah, they were excited, needless to say.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. We love getting tours like that. It's nice to have the tours of the people that actually respond to things.
Oh, those are always the best ones too. Either people that are like-minded that become our friends, but those touristy people that really just dig this sort of thing. That I don't know.
Yeah, when people are silent, that is the most difficult thing that we could possibly handle.
Well, it's like, I mean, when I'm giving a tour, I'm basically giving a performance.
Well, we don't know where. Yeah, we don't know which way, what direction to go if they're quiet the whole
time. It's awkward. If they make me feel awkward in my own home when they don't talk back to me. Like, it's a terrible thing. But it's like giving a concert to one person who's just kind of staring at you, or like doing theater for somebody that's coughing the whole time and falling asleep. It's awful. But whatever. Good people make it good.
Yeah. Good people are good.
Yes.
I was watching Bob's Burgers and they have a song. Good things are good.
Something like that. I love their musical numbers. What a great show that is.
The end of the fourth season when Bob almost died. He almost got killed. Anyway, enough talking about television. The Toronto Manor has had its ups and downs this week. It's been a roller coaster, as always. We were chock full of things going on. Mm-hmm. What was the first thing that happened this week? Let's start
this
with...
This weekend?
No, well, the week in general. This past week. My memory doesn't. I can only remember things that happened 2 days ago at the most.
Right.
So,
whatever we do this, it's the hardest. During the week itself, but Friday there was an art show at the Pittsburgh Art House.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We went to that for a little bit. I wasn't feeling too good, though, so we ended up bailing a little bit. We felt bad. We don't like to tell people that we're going to go to something and then not go, so we showed up anyway, stayed for a little bit, and the last thing I wanted to do is be the ghost of the feast with the gut troubles. I couldn't drive enough wine into my cheeseburger locker to make things okay.
It's one of those things where sometimes we eat too much food and there's not enough room for liquor, so anytime we try and drink, it just makes our stomach feel heavy, and we just feel even shittier.
Yeah. Then it's just worthless to go to the party at that point.
Yeah.
If we're going to be at something like that, we have to drink to some extent. We're taking a break, I guess, from the Trundle Sips at this point. Because
I guess we don't have anything with us.
We're doing this evening sober.
We don't have to be.
It's okay.
Now that you say that.
Yeah, I know. Well, we've been drinking a lot.
We've been hitting the sauce pretty hard.
Yeah. Well, yesterday, on Saturday, this is Sunday right now, on Saturday we had a private party that we hosted for a really good friend of ours, his friend and our newer friend, turned 50, right?
Yeah, it was. So we have this creature in the parlor called the werewolf mermaid or the weremaid, and it's our friend's pet dog that had passed away and now has become some sort of horrible creature, but it was half of a Doberman, half of a carp.
Part mahi-mahi.
With mahi-mahi fins, yeah. and the brother of the dog's owner was the one having the party. Oh, not that that matters well, to anybody but
us. She was throwing it for her husband.
Yes, yeah. Our friend Michelle was throwing it for her husband.
And they're really great people, and they're, you know, they're friends of some of our other friends. But it was a pretty good group of actual adults. We're not used to dealing with adults during parties.
We're
so.
Really, most of our parties anymore happen to be like 20-somethings and just drunken mayhem and chaos. But yeah. They brought like a nice spread of food. They made food.
Oh, it was insane.
It was delicious.
We had all four of our little tables were filled up with food. Inside, they had a bartender that they hired. They had,
skull cake. They had like a bucket of jambalaya, an absinthe fountain. I mean...
Yeah, we had the
stuff.
We had the projector going, so we had his favorite movies. And the way that it happened was set up by our friend Rod because he thought it would be good. I think that's how it went. Mm-hmm. He thought it would be a good place to have it. And him and Michelle conspired to trick her husband into thinking
that
he was coming here for a romantic Trundle Manor evening.
Romance package.
Alone, a romance package, which is... hilarious, but it got us thinking that we need to do something more like that, because it actually sounded cool when I started writing it up.
Yeah, you made a fake thing to send to him, but why isn't this a real thing? I said we should do a taxidermy for two package and provide animals for you and a bottle of wine or whatever you like and put on some kind of romantic black and white movie. And
I think it would have to be either... Because the idea that I was doing was like a dinner and then a movie.
Yeah.
And I think we can either offer a dinner or taxidermy. Because nobody wants to do both of those things in the same night.
That's true. And taxidermy ends up taking a while. That's a good 7 fucking hours at our house.
No, I don't think... Yeah. Well, plus, I guess if they had the movie and all the other stuff. Yeah, definitely.
Plus, the whole hand washing cleanliness issue.
Because I thought, maybe they'd want to eat first and then do the taxidermy. But then the entire time you're doing taxidermy, you're thinking about the food that you ate, and then you're full and you might want to throw up. So
one or the other. Yeah, but we'll do one of the taxidermy.
But we can keep everything else together.
Yeah.
You know, just you could swap out dinner or taxidermy. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
People dig that.
That's a good idea.
You get the real Trundle experience. Look, you're getting us all to yourself for what? 6 hours or
An
3 hours
evening.
Or whatever,
set aside the night
whatever
for
it ends up being.
But you'd be surprised how many people on tours come for anniversaries.
Yeah,
I mean, at least one birthday and anniversary per week. It's all the time.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool. I always like hearing that. There was, I think it was today, somebody had to cancel, but there was a girl that was coming for, or her mother brought her for her 19th birthday.
Yeah, that was today.
Did you give that?
I did give that to her. Oh, she bought a tentacle necklace.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
We do get a lot of parents bringing their kids. I think they want to show them they're kind of hip parents.
Yeah, and that you're not the only weird kid in the world.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. I always try and take special care for those tours because they need to hear that sort of thing. I don't mind being the older sister in that way. It's not so bad, kid.
At least for 45 minutes.
Yeah, give them right back after.
Yeah. Take this away from me. But on this romance package that I put together, I had... you know, you'd come in and you get to order your food through Wheel Deliver or Grubhub or one of those places. That way you can choose how much you want to pay for your meal, have it delivered to the manor beforehand. We'd set it up on nice plates, and dinnerware, set up something in our dining room for two where you could sit and enjoy your meal and then retire to the parlor.
And even if you want like an entire meal of like four orders of cheese sticks or something, we won't stop you.
No, because we're not paying for it.
Of course not. And we won't judge you.
Yeah. And but I thought like style-wise that would work really well because then you can eat whatever you want. We don't have to cook. You don't have to trust us to cook.
Oh, God, I don't
which
want
is another, yeah.
No, we're not doing that. People.
So that was the main idea. And then you can watch a movie in the parlor with you know, your bottle of whatever, and we'd refresh your drinks and stay out of your way and things like that.
Yeah.
So you can pretend like... but you got to take that somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. We're not
unless
providing
we're recording, that. Then that might be okay.
But, you have to hose out the coffin afterwards. I'm not doing it.
But you know, an evening at the manor all by yourself. We, you know, we would just kind of be your servants. You could pretend like the manor was your own.
We're the magenta and riffraff, and we're in the corner fucking over the crippled. That's what we are.
I think we'd be good at that.
Yeah.
So So the party was really fun. A lot of people came. I think it only lasted until about 11 or something, mm-hmm. which is kind of early for our parties, but it started a bit early, so it was okay.
Yeah.
And so we thank everyone for that. That was a good time.
That was a great time.
I looked more into the Peg Leg Girl stuff. She's going to stop by and bring me one of her stump covers.
Good.
So I can try to fashion it to
that.
Yeah,
that's happening this week, right?
Yeah. So she's going to come. We might try to get her on a recording for one of the next Trundlecasts. So that'd be kind of fun to hear.
Yeah.
And let's see what else we have on our little tiny agenda, which is just a note card that I haphazardly scribble onto. the art show is coming up this weekend.
Next Saturday, the 18th, or this Saturday.
This Saturday, the 18th. This is it's growing into kind of a big show.
I'm excited. I don't even think I know what's fully going on.
Well, I've been talking with the artist, and we've been putting some things together, and she's got some friends that do fire spinning. So as long as it's nice out, we'll have them outside.
Awesome.
I think that she said a ribbon dancer. I know. I think ribbon was involved. I don't know much about that. But
somebody with some ribbons will be here.
I know about fire. I don't know about ribbonry.
I assume it's similar.
Yeah, I'm sure it's similar. And she said that her friend who plays ukulele is going to come.
Oh, wow.
And you know, just do a thing in the parlor.
Sort of like a free-for-all type event, which is cool.
Yeah,
invite all the weird kids, yeah.
And we even have our naked absinthe girl, our resident.
Well, yay, not, Jess.
Our standard naked girl who sits on our absinthe swing in the middle of the dining room. So she's going to be painted by Sharon.
Oh, live body painting.
And
very
cool. Yeah, I'm not sure if it would be cooler to just have her pre-painted so that, you know, because the room's small, you know.
Right, and it would take a long time.
Yeah, have her pre-painted or, you know, and just have her, like, chained to the swing
mm-hmm.
as a centerpiece
mm-hmm.
for Sharon. Or to have her live do it and maybe do it just in the, we could do it in the kitchen. In the laboratory, she can, you know, lay down while she's doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what they're up for.
I think we'll just kind of play it by ear, but
that should be fun, though.
Yeah, so that's going to be cool.
Very fun.
That's going to be a crazy night. And then she wants to do a closing party, so
good.
She came up with a really good idea that I really want to implement on future events is an open mic night.
Oh, what a great idea.
Yeah.
We've had so many different bands and even comedians come to our house before.
So people can do, like, limericks. They can sing. They can tell a poem. You know?
We can have our own freak show contest at the Lava Lounge used to host. Why don't we just do that, actually?
Hell yeah. Let's just do that.
Can we? I'm sure Andrew would love to MC.
Oh,
Spaz has
God.
Been gunning to host again for ages.
How could we do that?
Jeez.
Okay. Well, now I got to look more into the soundproofing of the carport because I think we'd have to do that outside.
It may be an outside outdoor.
But that's awesome. I want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
So look for that Trundle Files.
Yes.
Trundle Manor is going to be having a freak show contest right here at the Manor itself.
We can offer some great prizes, too.
You know, and we can. And we even packages. We can. The final prize can be a full romance taxidermy package. How about that? You know, that way, if it's just you and your friend, you can do the taxidermy. If you want romance, then you can do the dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take your significant otter. But I love that. So how can we do that? Because I was thinking even the freak show contest that we did not have that many people sometimes.
No, it wasn't well advertised by the bar, I think. I forget what the problem was.
Yeah, what did we have, like one contestant every once in a while? And I guess you won.
We would have to start it like an hour late because they were in the bar trying to get people involved.
Yeah, just do something. We don't care. Stand up there and scream.
Yeah. Something ridiculous.
Yeah, so, okay. So look for that.
Yes.
Let's plan some more shit so that we have less time.
All right.
Fun.
Yeah.
This is fun to do.
Well,
here's the thing.
We need secretaries.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the thing.
Yeah. We're definitely going to do that. And so that art show is coming up. That's going to be amazing. That's the 18th, so make sure you come to that. The few people that are listening to this, we did an interview with Sharon.
Bergmark.
Yeah, we did an interview with Sharon on
very
first podcast, Trundlecast. So that girl that you heard, make sure to come and check out her works. And one of the most important things, at least to Velda, if not to every single person, is Movie Night is coming up.
That's right. Our first Trundle Movie Night is going to be this Wednesday, the 15th, which I don't know when this podcast will come out. Maybe today, whenever you're listening. but the first installment is going to be Rock and Roll High School and Animal House, so sort of late 70s anarchic school films. And there's going to be a theme each week, every other week for 13 weeks, and it ends on September 30th. So it's our summer program, and we are trying to be nice neighbors and doing it indoors this year. So we're going to have limited seating in the parlor for the Trundle Film Appreciation Society, which that's the easiest way to get invited is to join or ask to join the Facebook group that is called Trundle Film Appreciation Society.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be limited space because it's indoors, but we're going to screen them in the parlor, and we're going to have outdoor smoking seating and or making out or whatever you want to do on the front porch seating.
Yeah,
you can watch through the window.
Try to figure out how to use that giant bay window that we have.
Yeah.
So you can sit outside and watch. So we might have to do a few moving arounds in the parlor just
we'll
to
figure
make
out the blocking of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it should be pretty good.
And of course, Rocky Horror Picture Show at midnight, as always.
Of course, yeah. You know, what I was thinking is maybe if we can figure it out, we can start outside and do Rocky inside at the end.
I wouldn't mind that.
Because it would be nice to do maybe if we... Hey, how about this, hon? Why don't you pick one night a month and we'll do it outside.
Okay.
You know, do Rocky inside, but we'll do it outside. That way we're not inundating the neighbors with every other week us screaming.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. Because it was a nice...
the Rocky is the screaming one, so I want to...
That's the obnoxious bit. So
we usually end up doing that at midnight, so that's...
And usually half the party is cleared out by then anyway, so I have no problems doing that. I guess it depends on the weather, too, on what ends up outside.
Yeah. Well, you know, if it doesn't work for the one night, then we'll just postpone it for the next, you know...
Yeah.
The next movie night or something, so... I'm sure we could work something out with that.
Yeah, because if our friends are getting loud and raucously drunk to silent movies outside, then that's just hilarious.
Yeah.
Congratulations, my friends. But no, I think we can work that out.
Okay. We'll give that a try. And, you know, I talked to our neighbors who have the two little kids.
Across the street,
Across the street, Jeff and Amy. And
Vaughn and Eric?
Eric,
I forget the other kid's name. Aaron and Vaughn.
Pretty sure it's Aaron. Yeah, I'm bad with names. Sorry, kids. If you do end up listening to this, I'm sorry. And also, you shouldn't be listening to this because this is a fucking swearable podcast.
Don't fucking listen.
You fucks. No, and I was talking to them, and the little kid loves us, and he's going into Boy Scouts.
Oh, great.
Coming up. So Monday's going to be his first Boy Scout meeting. He
Good
was in
for
Cub
him.
Scouts. I was going to be in Boy Scouts. And I was in Boy Scouts, and it was terrible, and I was in, like, the smallest troop ever, and I didn't like getting dirty, so I didn't like the jamboree thing that I did once, and then I quit. And also, you know, seeing your scoutmaster shitting with an open door.
That's
in
a bit traumatic.
When you're not comfortable pooping at all outside of your house at that moment.
That's...
Being a little kid, so that was traumatizing to some extent. No rape, but still awful. And
Good.
Yeah.
I had Girl Scouts for a year that I also dropped out of. It was the very first year, and then we had to start selling magazines and things after.
Oh.
And I don't know why I dropped out before the cookies thing happened, but the very next year they had like a father-daughter dance, and it was a sock hop. And
that's
I am
so
the only.
That's
some creepy Southern Christian shit that I don't like. But the fact that the dance was a sock hop, and I was the only kid my age who even knew what that was, and I missed it, kind of pissed me off.
Aww.
Which is just as well because, whatever.
Yeah.
I have all the cookies and doo-wop I want now. I'm fine.
Now that you're an adult.
Yes.
To some extent. But he was talking about... They actually liked the movie nights. The kids wanted to come up for one of them.
That's great. I'm glad.
And the one night, there were too many people, and Amy didn't let them come up.
I understand.
Which I get, you know. Because you don't know. Even though we're across the street, they don't know that much about us. So that was good parenting. But I told him maybe we can set up so we can just do his scout troop.
Oh.
Do a movie night just for them.
That would be great. Do you know what they would want to see? Or?
Well, you know, I'd talk to the scout leader or something.
Sure.
But I'd love to set that up. I'm all about
I think that
the
would be
kids.
Great.
I think Trundle Manor is very kid-friendly most of the time.
Yeah, we are all
and
the time.
Because we want it to be that way. They're the future of the weird.
Yeah. And if they don't see this stuff now, then they're never going to have a connection to it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we need to be the Adamses for these kids.
Definitely do.
So, I got that going. So I'm ready for that.
Good.
Yeah. So this this is the second installment of our interviews with the vampire, the witch, and the black cat.
Yes.
This was instigated by Velda after we interviewed, talked about interviewing Brian. And I love this little Halloween interlude before Halloween.
And, way before.
Yeah. And I can't remember where I cut the stupid podcast, but we definitely have...
There's plenty more where that came
from.
Yeah,
this is just the second part of a third part thing. But they're such great interviews, I didn't want to cut any of them.
No.
They had so much to say, and they're so into what they're doing that I just felt like it was a crime if I cut anything out of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so I left it all together.
We're not professional interviewers. We just like to listen to you bullshit and probably won't stop you.
Yeah, it's just about sitting here, having a drink, hanging out,
and
telling us about your stuff, what you are, what makes you a witch or a vampire.
And or a cat.
The black cat.
What does make you a cat?
Probably the fur, the stature, and the fact that you can only meow.
I'm getting very close.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm meowing very meow.
Oh, you're so furry. Although that interview with Little Devil, I do not want to... I cut it short.
We don't
short.
Need to reprise that.
I cut it short.
You get the picture.
I don't
we
know.
We talked to our cat and...
It just seemed too cutesy.
Are.
Although I did get a text from one of our listeners who
did
said
you?
She said that that she liked that. So
who was it? Is it
I might put a little bit more of that in at the end, just because it's part of it. So I'm gonna put Eve.
Oh, Eve did. Oh, very good. You know, Little Devil gets fan mail sometimes. We have on our wall of children's art downstairs as part of the tour, there's a little letter he got. And we have no idea who it was from to this day, but it says, to Little Devil, meow, meow, meow. And the whole thing is written in meows. And then it says, purr, purr.
I'm glad you
and there's
didn't
a paw print.
With
oh,
all
fuck. I wasn't going to do that. but yeah, we have no idea who sent it. So it made us really happy.
Yeah.
He's got fans, too.
Oh, yeah.
Cat could, fans.
Yeah, you're going to love him. He's great for tours, though. That's the main thing with us.
Yes.
Because he likes to be seen. So now his new position is he'll just go down, sit on the couch. Well, flop on the couch.
He flops.
And take up an entire person's seat and just make people stare at him.
Yeah.
While he lays there and pretends like they don't exist.
Well, the best part is I already talked about the fact that we have a cat, and then they enter that room and they see him, and they don't realize that he's alive at first.
Yeah.
So they all kind of jump, and I'm not trying to make things jump out at people or scare you, but like it happens.
The tour that I had to do on my own, they like, oh, he's alive.
he's our living taxidermy.
Yeah. Oh, so I'll put a little bit more of that in, maybe just because it was asked for, but you're really pushing me on this. You're really pushing me to sound like a simpy shit.
You know, it's sad, but people like that sort of thing.
Yeah, what are you going to do? So, this is another fun podcast.
You're like that Bond villain, that James Bond villain that's pure evil but has a little cat in his lap that's purring.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just saw a picture of that cat, and I can't remember. I don't know. I don't know a lot about the Bond films. I like them.
I don't think I've ever seen one of them all the way
like
through.
It's like a main thing of mine.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd like to. I love the soundtracks to them.
Yeah, there's just so much that came out of them.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, every cartoon has at least one throwback to James Bond in it.
Yeah, I just know all the stereotypes. I was listening to movie soundtracks at work one day, and I was listening to, like, Goldfinger and all the Bond stuff. I feel like such a poser right now because I'm only listening to the sound. I haven't actually watched the movies.
Yeah.
But.
Also, in business news
for
the Corinthian Project, our business manager, our business consultant,
Bernard.
He is in France for a few weeks.
He is in France.
He is from France.
He's also from France. Yeah, he'll be gone for, 6 weeks or some fantastical amount.
Yeah, we were just watching Big Eyes from Tim Burton. And
what a great film.
The main character, reminds us exactly of Bernard.
Christoph Waltz.
He's just not, he's not like tall enough to be Bernard, but he totally reminded me of him where he has this accent that is not very specific. I don't think Bernard necessarily sounds like a Frenchman or anything. He just sounds foreign.
He's been in Pittsburgh long enough that he isn't pure French accent anymore. It's kind of gotten muddled, I think, some of French yinzeries.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, he had that quality
totally
to his voice.
Like, anyway, so Bernard's out of the States for a while, and he's left us to our own devices.
Huh.
And I think we're going to try to get a lot of work done.
We have a big list of things that I'd like to get moving on. So.
Moving ahead once again, hopefully.
Yes.
Hopefully this will give us a little kick in our ass. It got monotonous to have to meet every week and talk about things and not do things.
It became like a class almost, which, yeah. I mean, it was putting me at least in the right direction because I know absolutely nothing about business anything.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's nice to be left alone and work it out.
Yeah. Well, now we'll be able to see what we can do on our own, which is the way we started in the first place.
So yeah.
We'll see what happens. And, oh, and I got another piece of Perkins in the mail. That's
did
a lot
you?
Of peas.
Finally. That took forever, really.
I'm glad that I have this little piece of screen in front of me so you didn't have to hear all those peas. Anyway, but I got this little Victorian-era badge from the Boer Wars, and it was from the King's Colonial Army.
Mm.
And what that meant, that was the colonies that they had at the time, which was Canada and Australia and India and a few other places. They all had different divisions where they'd get a couple hundred people from each country and they would fight in the Boer War for England.
Okay.
And this one was mainly the Indian division.
Mm-hmm.
So it has an elephant on it. Huh. And they called it Asia because India is part of Asia.
Right.
And back then, it was just all that was what was considered Asia. Now we think of Japanese and Chinese and Koreans as Asian. But India is still considered
I guess it's in
Asia.
Between the Middle East and the Far East. But
so this is a cap badge that I'm going to put on his little noggin.
Yay!
And I'm super excited. I want to get that done before Perkins' birthday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which we have some
special. Which is also my birthday.
Surprises. Yes. People, we realized that people have been not entirely excited about the robot birthday. Like, oh, it's just another quirky bullshit thing that they're doing. But I had to tell them, no, it's Anton's birthday.
Yeah. So people actually want to come.
Yes.
And surprisingly, people still kind of like me. Who knew? Who knew? Who knew
they love you.
As villainous as I can be, people still kind of love me. So anyway.
People like the cool jerk.
Ooh.
That sounded really, really filthy. Forget
that.
Is
that where
you
put your hand in the ice box before you go to town on yourself?
Yeah, it's like a stranger,
cool
but it's like
jerk.
I like to call that the necro stranger. Actually,
oh, I see. From the grave.
Yeah. Whose hand is this? I don't know. I just found it.
I don't know, but it fits quite well.
I'm just gonna
around my penis.
Got to break the finger joints.
Gross.
Anyway.
Anywho's floppy flesh and all. So Perkins' birthday is coming up in 2 weeks. That'll be on a Saturday. That's the 25th. And feel free to bring Robot Lube if you want to come to that, which is booze, or just Robot Lube. I'm sure he's a little stiff.
We may or may not have a cake of some sort.
Yay.
There's a tradition for Anton's birthday where his Nana makes the greatest pineapple upside down cake in the whole wide world. And she finally, a couple years ago, let me start making it, and I'm the one to make it now. And the first time I did it, she puts in twice as much sugar as the recipe calls for, and I saw that and said, oh, twice as much. All right, so I actually put four times as much, completely by accident.
Because she was going off of Nana's recipe, which already
was just handwritten.
Already had the double amount of sugar.
Yeah, so I didn't know, and we just ended up with a bag of brown sugar and a little bit of cake.
Didn't mind.
No, it was amazing.
That's what I like best about it.
But every year, Anton's cake is only for Anton and me. Yes. I get some of it as well. And the cat, if he licks it out while we're passed out in our cake coma. But no, if we do a party cake,
we'll
it'll
hide
be,
that so the party cake will have to be a different cake.
I'm sure ours will be long gone by then because your birthday is a full 2 days before that. So,
oh, yeah.
No cake for anyone.
No cakes for you. Oh, delivery guy's here.
Oh, right.
Okay. We'll put this on pause and come back to you, Trundle Files. Part two of the interview of Brian Vamp, doing his all to convince us that he is a true blood sucker. We'll find out a few things about Brian, about his music, how he lights his castle, and maybe about what the Trundles really are.
That's all I'm going to say on the subject.
Yeah, I saw the bunny there. I didn't
That might have been velvet inside of her, one of her corporeal forms.
Yeah. If there was some green ooze coming out of the mouth and it was gurgling, it was probably me.
Right.
We have crossed paths. You
know. That's what she's always going for, is a bit of drool and a bit of horror. Just for the kiddies, though. You know.
The green was candy. I had a bunch of lollipop melted in my mouth.
That's how you feed children. You ooze it out of the head of a musty rabbit.
It works like baby birds, right? Yeah. You just kind of ooze some terrible goo out of your mouth, and the babies eat it.
It's not on you.
I like, I like the goo.
You know,
but you like red goo.
Very soothing.
So, what did you think about the punch that we offered?
Oh, that blood punch we had the last
party. Valentine's Day.
It knocked me out. That's for sure.
It certainly was potent.
We did a Valentine's Day party just because Brian asked us if we were going to do it. And
we had no plans other than that.
I could not turn him down. He's too perfect of a person.
Yeah, so we always have fun.
Yeah, we always have fun when Brian comes.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
And play for your friends. I love coming here. And
you've performed a bunch at Trundle Manor. So tell us a little bit about your well, quote unquote act, like what you do, your vocals and your songs.
Oh yes, the act. Yes,
please.
Yes, well, over the years, I have an interest in singing. It's my way of communicating with everybody. And it keeps me hip, you know. I don't want to fall behind and become some sort of dinosaur. Yeah. I love coming down and picking up the newest lingo and trying to keep up with the latest trends that you have.
Are you on Twitter or Facebook?
Yes, okay. I have my own iPhone.
Give us your names. Give us your...
Yeah, promote yourself a bit.
How are we going to find you, Brian?
Okay, well, to find me, just Reverb Nation. Brian Vamp.
Okay.
TheReverbNation.com. Or you can find my webpage at BrianVamp.Weebly.com.
And that's B-R-Y-A-N.
Yes,
right?
Brian with a Y, of course. Vamp.
And, that's easy.
Yeah, there you can see some videos and hear some songs.
I'll throw a link up on our page too.
Yeah, we'll put a link
too,
up for you.
Yeah, and of course you can find me and like my page on Facebook.
Sure.
I think if you type the name Brian Vamp in, all sorts of things will come up.
As long as you spell it right, you'll come up. Yeah,
you can find anything you want on me. I'm up there. There's some videos.
Good.
Mr. Arm has a really hard time. That's right, I'm speaking to myself in the
third person now.
But Mr. Arm has a really hard time listening to live music. I personally have an issue with it. I get bored very quickly, and I find nothing to do. But that's why we like having you back over and over, because your songs are entertaining, you're an entertaining person, and you haven't bitten too many of our party members, so that's
just the ones that deserved it, some of them do.
All that I have is hypnotism and my voice.
I will not suck you dry.
Yay! That's a line from one of his songs.
Right.
But I all that I have is hypnotism, and you have it in your blood, so I'm competing
natural
with you. So
hypnotism.
I wanted to just
How
thank
intriguing.
You. I wanted to thank you for just not biting too many of our party members.
I am very proud of the fact that I can control my restraints. It's important when being around the human not to disturb them too much. And so over the years, I've cultivated my...
you can't spread your bloodline too thin.
Right.
No, that goes for mortals, too. That's just not smart.
Right.
Well, tell that to... I forgot his name.
Who? Somebody we know.
What is it? 1 in 5 people are related to him?
Oh, Screamin' Jay Hawkins?
No.
He had 75 children.
No.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Who is it?
Thomas Jefferson?
The Mongol.
Oh.
Mongol.
Why can't I
Genghis
do this?
Khan.
Genghis Khan.
Yes.
Good lord, one of the
I
largest names
blood.
In history. And
yeah, so
imagine if Genghis Khan was a vampire. You wouldn't have anything to drink at this moment.
That's true. We would all be a race of vampires with no food. I'm glad I thought of Screamin' Jay Hawkins first.
That was good.
The Conqueror.
Way to go.
One in 10 of us is Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
If you find yourself with a bone through your nose and that's shrieking and right. drunk coming out of
well,
a
Well, we do have a top hat with a cat on it. I mean, that's close.
Yeah, we are actually closer than most to Screamin' Jay.
Surprisingly.
Well, the act is simple. I sing and I play the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a drum machine. And occasionally I play with other people. I have played with a guitar friend, Prince Charles, and I have played with Vampiris, the Amber Bamber. Right now it's a solo act, but I'm able to cover all the parts. It means drum, bass, guitar, and singing is one person, the keyboard. And I do not use, at this point, any backing tracks.
No.
Just the drum machine.
So he's a one-man vampire show, is what we're saying.
One-man vampire band.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. It's all contained in one. So all the conflicts...
I don't feel like you're missing anything, because you've always played solo here, but I never feel like you're missing anything. It always sounds...
Yeah, there is the complete sound, I think. I'm able to get that. And that is what it is at this point. It's not so hard to play all those things if you're playing keyboard. I have these songs that I wrote about my life as a vampire and try to communicate with the human. And,
you know, the one song that you have that I relate to the most is
How.
Sorry.
Well, this is how I don't want to say I get my victim. I get tracked certain people. I want people to come to the show. Don't be frightened. And you were talking about a song that you like. I know which song you like.
Well, one of the
Neighborhood Vampire.
That's right? Well, I love that one. But the one that comes back to me more often than not is Not the Bad Guy. Because you have no idea how often in my life I say that phrase. Look, I'm not the bad guy.
Twice a day, at least.
She knows
right.
I mean, because I like being a villain, but you don't want to be the bad guy. There's a difference between the villain and the bad guy.
Right.
You know, the bad guy is something terrible that has nothing better for you, but the villain has a greater understanding of what's going to happen when he does what he does. You know, and that's the way I look at it anyway. The bad guy is just a dick. You don't want to. That's the South Side.
Well, you
nowadays.
Know, people are worried that how can we get them to become relaxed and have a good time and not worry? The first thing they're thinking is, you know, is this the bad guy or whatever that is? Am I doing something wrong? I have to tell them, explain to them.
Yeah.
No, there are other forces out there that are much more, worse than I am.
That's good. That's good to keep in perspective, you know?
I don't claim to necessarily be good, per se. But I don't claim to be a bad guy. And sometimes I am better than or good in ways I...
Well, if you were 100% one way or the other, that would be boring, you know?
Well, if we played some of your songs on this podcast for this episode, would you be opposed to that?
No, not
obviously, we'll credit you.
Excellent.
So
yeah,
let's take a little break right now. We'll play one of my favorite songs right now. So here we go, by Brian Vann.
Life you own.
up in the twilight hour. The sun's last rays were fading. The moon was rising slowly and the stars had just appeared. I crept across the cemetery in the shadows of the tombstones. Hunger pangs and fangs hang low. I'm calling for you, dear. Look out, Black Death will take you. It will find you by yourself alone and will take from you every drop of life you own. It will take from you every drop of life you own. Twilight hour, my hunger pangs were with me. The moon was growing brighter and the clouds had just disappeared. I came across your moonlit face in the shadows of the gravestones. Hunger pangs and fangs hang low. I've come for you, my dear. Look out, Black Death will take you. Tear you limb from limb. Lurking in the shadows, it will find you by yourself alone and will take from you every drop of life you own. Lurking in the shadows, it will find you by yourself alone and will take from you every drop of life. Take from you every drop of life you own. It will take from you every drop of life you own.
So that is definitely one of my favorite songs. I just always feel good when I hear it and when I see you perform it.
I'm still going.
I was
we're gonna faking edit later.
Then I was editing it in.
I see. So we're still
put your
on
goddamn
we're still
glasses
on.
Back
we're still on.
Get them okay. back.
There's a light in here. Put your glasses
still
on.
Still rolling. Yeah. When that light goes off, you're off. Don't worry. Okay.
Can I tell the story about the time that you came to help us set up for Halloween?
Most definitely.
Okay, so we were very pressed for time this Halloween, trying to set up our yard and our house and everything, and Brian graciously decided to come over and help us with the lawn. And because the sun was not quite setting very early yet, I just got home from work and the sun was still out.
Skin irritants.
I was just worried for him. I said, Brian, do you need like a parasol? I have several black lace parasols, or, you know, I've SPF 100,000 plus if you need to. I'm worried about you being out in the sun helping us. Like, thank you for your generous offer, but
you know,
it was fine.
You know what
I
found out from that experience is that vampires aren't really hurt by the sun. They're just very vain and they like being pale. I'm fine with that as well, by the way.
That is my story.
Yeah. I'm totally okay with that. But he tried to play it off and said that he had some sunscreen on. I know better, buddy. I know you just look better pale.
Some of us do.
Well, yes. It is true that we're very concerned with the skin and the color. I mean, Why would you?
Is it skin cancer? Are you guys more attuned to?
Well, they're safer.
More prone
from
to getting
cancer.
Skin cancer because
because
of the vampire blood.
No, certainly.
Is that what you're worried about?
The midday sun will burn our skin.
Right, the hottest time of the day.
It's definitely. When it's, now, the time I came over was late in the evening.
It was setting sun nearly sunset.
The sun was dying in the west. Uh-huh. And at that time, I often wake up and come out.
So, you wake up early.
Well, what? I like to attribute the fact that you've lived this long, and now because of modern society, we've got so much smog and filter in the air, which is what makes beautiful sunsets. But it also helps the vampires because it gets rid of those rays, right?
But there's almost
was the latest study in vampirism. It's mainly because of pollution that you're allowed to come out in the mid or in the end day sun.
You know what also helps though is incandescent light, artificial light inside. Yeah. Because I mean, when it first happened, I'm sure vampires
get some used
got very.
To it, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, it's you know, halfway point. I know in Interview with a Vampire, they were very upset that one of them, you know, was upset that the light was on, and the other one's like, no, it's not real. It's just a light bulb. You're fine.
Right.
Mm. Became a thing. Yeah.
Do you have gas lamps in your house, or do you have incandescent light?
Oh, my castle?
Right.
Yeah, in the castle.
Castle, my apologies.
We don't have gas lamps. We're paranoid about the fire.
We're a manor, so we have a house.
There are incandescent lights in there.
Okay.
But,
modernized.
Did you switch over?
Some people have come and they use the... I sleep in the basement part of it, which... Okay. They have lights that the humans have put in there. Mm. They don't know that I'm in the lights. They have taken over, and I don't mind if.
Wait, so it's no longer your castle?
Well,
are you squatting? I mean, it's okay if you are.
Kind of squatting.
Okay, I'm just curious.
The number of times that a human will come in there is about once a month.
Oh, that's not bad.
They have a wedding. My beautiful cemetery of all my delicious victims.
That's something that I didn't want to bring up, but this is really why you're here.
Many, many years ago, I do not want to frighten anyone.
Oh, of course not.
Take victims like I.
But I'm here to put you in the hot seat, Brian.
Uh oh.
Because you have not given us the bones of your victims, and you know how much Trundle Manor needs bones.
We love bones.
You know, is there some kind of connection? Is there a sexual attraction to the bones? Tell us, Brian.
Tell us.
About the bones?
Tell us about the bones.
I don't give a damn about the fucking
bones.
Well,
why haven't you given us the bones?
Sorry, is this a PG?
Swear away.
No, it's not.
No.
You know how many corsets I could make with human rib cages on them, and I could be rich right now.
This is why you're here, Brian.
I do not keep the bones. Why would I keep a bunch of bones?
Well, do you bury them? Just tell us where they're buried.
Do you keep your chicken bones?
Where are the bodies buried?
Yes. Yes, we do.
I'm asking the wrong people.
Yeah, come on. Know your audience.
But my audience, you can understand. These whatever they are, they would keep their bones. But
Brian, we like to consider ourselves ghouls. Okay. You may be a vampire, but I'm a ghoul at heart.
I've been a professional ghoul since I was 8 years old, and every time a friend of mine has a surgery or something and they mention it on Facebook, I say, number one, congratulations and good luck to you. I hope you're okay. Number two, are you keeping that?
Give him more one.
We interrupt this Trundlecast to bring you yet another live news bulletin from the attic of Trundle Manor. With us in the studio today is Professor. Professor, could you enlighten us on what's going on downstairs at Trundle Manor today?
Thank you. We seem to have vampires infesting Trundle Manor. Since that last podcast, it's become quite the issue.
Well, thank you, Professor, but I think that we have to get to the root of this issue, and if you could, tell us what we should be doing.
Well, perhaps some steaks, a little bit of the right sauce, might take care of these blood suckers.
Well, thank you, Professor. That was very enlightening to some extent. You know what? I'm just going to have to get out of this room with this guy, and can someone else please just take over this interview? No? Nobody wants to handle this? You just wanted to put this on Mr. Senior News Operative? Well, guess what? You're just going to have to take this over on your own.
I don't even care anymore. Goodbye, Professor, and goodbye, Trundle Files. We just give you back to the Trundle cast already in progress. Please stay tuned.
Well, that was the second part of the interview with Brian Vamp in the attic of Trundle Manor, and we also seem to have a news break right at the perfect time there, so don't be afraid, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure that Brian will keep them at bay for us, and we won't have to worry too much. And as far as the professor, that's a whole nother issue. Don't mind him. He just really likes steak for some reason. Anyway, we found out that we're kind of a bit of ghoul as opposed to anything else. This is why Trundle Manor has been around for so long. We like the bones of our victims and other people's victims as well, so feel free to bring your victim's bones. Up next, we've got the second part of Julie the Witch's interview. We'll talk about things such as luck, spells, and fate, and what our religion boils down to as far as these kind of things go. So pay attention to that, and in between, we're going to have some music by Julie's band, Devils in the Details. Here we go. Tell us more about yourself. Like, what's your day-to-day witchery life? Like, what
a day in the
you...
life of.
Yeah.
Well, being a witch is a very spiritual thing for me. So, like, to keep me grounded and to remind me and perhaps people around me of our divinity, to realize that we're capable of so much more than we've been led to believe. So every day, you know, well, more starts at night with me. Like, I'll light a series of candles before bed and create a very sort of sacred space that clears my mind and reminds me of, you know, our role as a creator in the universe.
Do you do that every night?
Every night.
Really?
And, I mean, we're talking a couple minutes.
Right, yeah. Right.
It's almost like a prayer in a way.
Right.
Yeah.
And then like that, that leads me back to the law of attraction, where I actually wanted to mention prayer. When you hear, like, people think that God is answering their prayers, and mm-hmm. people get together and they pray and they pray and they pray and their prayers are answered. Mm-hmm. I often wonder if that is the law of attraction just manifesting, and they're bringing their own, you know, goals back to themselves and manifesting things themselves, and they think it's God.
Yeah.
Or whatever they want to call
it. Because they're used to somebody having authority over them. They're not used to the idea of themselves being able to do anything.
And I think people are at stages different. Like, I started reading into theosophy a lot. And it seems to be indicating that people are always going to be at different levels of evolution in terms of thought.
Mm-hmm.
And that some people are just not going to think on that level. It doesn't mean that they're, you know, not as smart or not as
evolved.
No,
I wouldn't say that about
just
somebody, but
branched in different directions in terms of thought and reality.
Yeah.
And also in terms of, you know, God, if they've really created this God for all intents and purposes, their God does exist to them.
Yeah.
Where it does not exist to me.
Yeah.
And
that goes back to me saying that everybody has their own God, and it all ends up being a very similar outcome that you can get.
Mm.
But it, you know, it's just, like, as you say, the law of attraction, it's the way of going about a certain thing, you know. We may go about a completely different style and a different type of worship and a different type of religious activity. But in the very long run, it almost ends up being the same religious activity, but with the same outcome. Like you said, those people that pray, you know, oh, I prayed until you got better. I prayed until, you know, my cancer was gone. I prayed until I got a better job. I got these things. Yeah. But you can also, like, if you ended up doing witchcraft with the type that you do, with the candles and your style, then eventually, like, it's almost like praying, where, you know, you're
putting
it's like wishing. It's like wishing, you know. The more you wish for something, but if you do it right, there's a specific part of the mind that you have to access when you're wishing to make that wish happen. You know what I mean?
Correct.
You know, it's a long way into the idea of rubbing a lamp, you know, to mm-hmm. the point where, you know, if I rub a lamp long enough, mm-hmm. eventually that genie is going to come out and my mm-hmm. wish is going to come true. You know, so prayer is almost like a rubbing at the lamp. Like, exactly. You're getting your genie to happen. Obviously, you're not going to be like, I wish for a giant robot, which actually earlier today I talked to some Carnegie CMU students from Russia that in the Ukraine that might help me build a giant robot. So maybe my wish will, you know, maybe exactly. crazy wishes will come true.
And
you know,
I mean, they absolutely will. But one of the other key tenets of it is you actually taking the steps within this material world to manifest it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and it helps.
Well, obviously, you can't just like wish mm-hmm. for something.
And
like
there are some amount of structure to this level of reality. Like, I'm trying to retrain my mind by reading a book called A Course in Miracles, which is supposed to be like what the Bible was supposed to be, and mm-hmm. to train your mind to believe in miracles. They have an entire workbook at the end for every day of the year.
A workbook, oh man.
Yeah, so, and if you do these exercises to shift how you see reality, you know, and that is a really big, big, big piece of making spells work.
Mm-hmm.
Is reality.
Is belief, just your own belief in it working. So whatever you can do to change your belief structure to believe that that can happen mm-hmm. is going to be key in manifesting what you want. So, and I use a lot of that. I use a lot of like physics and I've retrained my mind. Yeah. There are limitations in this reality, though. You know, we are sort of held captive by a veil and physical nature of things. So you're kind of keep trying and to see what you can manifest. And some things you can't just believe. And some things, you know, you could try years to make happen and it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't stop me from continuing to try or just tweaking things in a different way.
But if you put that much more energy towards it throughout the years, you know, will that make it stronger eventually when it does come true?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, you have to be realistic. Like, I can't manifest winning the lottery. There's no.
No, because that's, I mean, know. That's dumb.
Well, that's something that you don't have dumb, any well, even close control over. Like, I think that certain things.
Random.
Yeah, like that's a randomness.
Nature of it,
that's something that isn't, you know, you can work and make it happen. That's just something that happens.
Right.
Happens.
Like, I will say you can, like, bring it to you, like, you might be get a scratch off ticket and win $500 or something. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
Small amounts.
People, like, really try, or the, like, physicists of the 70s, when they were playing around with the law of attraction, is, they would just do simple things like parking spaces. They would have contests to see who could get the parking spot.
That's great.
You know, and things that were really
But see,
tangible.
That's the physical world. That's less roll of the dice, and that's more something that you can actually modify.
Right.
And then whereas, like, the even the scratch-off tickets, you can't really modify those. Those are still a roll of the dice.
The system,
well, what you would do is try and when you're say I use like a green candle for success and some incense that's for success and money, and I use these tools to tell the universe, hey, this is what I want, this is what I need at this particular time. But what is very important is to put yourself in that present moment, and while you're putting this magic together and while you're putting your spell together, to presently be in the moment of what it would feel like to win the lottery or get a scratch-off ticket that wins, or you know, whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, put yourself in that present moment like it's happened, and you're feeling the emotion of it.
It's visualization.
There's a lot of visualization, and a lot of it is, you know, mental. To try and literally pretend while you're doing this ritual, this is how I want to feel, and this is how I want my emotions to feel, and this is what I imagine this would feel like. And as you do that, and you can use it like astrology and, you know, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and pick the right day of the year that you think will manifest this the best, and put all those things together, and then, you know, send it off into the universe and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, depending, and I, you know, when people start out, like I was in enchantments in the East Village when we were just in New York, and there was a guy in there who had picked up like the Key of Solomon, which is a pretty heavy grimoire of you know, of magic and some pretty arcane stuff. And but the person was like, oh, you don't want that, you can't do that, you don't need to learn about demons, you're not experienced enough, blah 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 blah. And I'm thinking to myself, how the hell do you know what this person
needs?
Yeah,
that's kind of pretentious. It's just assuming you don't know.
But you run into a lot of that in magic. Like, you're don't
people
do that.
People thinking that they know better.
Yeah, you're going to summon demons and they're going to eat your soul.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's like, and I just, there's just a lot of misinformation. Like, you can read about anything without, you know, like, you can read a whole book about demonology and summoning demons and not actually go summon demons.
Yeah.
But what you will learn about is, like, lesser banishing rituals and how to, if you wanted, and then the art of evocation.
Yeah.
And you will learn about all these things, and it's telling you the mechanics of it.
Well, maybe it's like, it's very close to the idea of collective consciousness, because possibly the idea of going into wishing and praying and going through your rituals will modify collective consciousness, which gets the right people involved. It might get the right people like to do what you need them to do, and that'll make it happen. Like, because since I was a child, I believed heavily in collective consciousness, in humanity, because I would come up with this invention, and a year later the invention would happen. It would happen. I invented robot puppies in my mind when I was a child, and all of a sudden there's robot puppies.
Right. Exactly.
You know, 1 year later. And, you know, I didn't write it anywhere.
You threw it out into the collective.
Yeah, it was just like something that I thought about a lot at some stage in my development, and all of a sudden it happened. And I love the concept of collective consciousness. And,
me too.
And actually thinking about it, like, as you're talking, I'm thinking more and more how that could fit into the idea of what you do.
Maybe
like what you do affects collective consciousness, which is the ability to affect the people that you need it to affect. You know, like, say, you know, you need, you want this specific guy to like you, and, you know, you go through these special rituals, you know, a love potion number nine kind of a situation. But you're able to go through that, and throughout your rituals, it throws it into his collective consciousness that makes him find a way to like you, or, you know, makes him realize that maybe you're the right person, you know, like that kind of a thing.
That's
a very simple way to put
example,
it, but, you know. But I love the concept of that. Maybe that, you know, I love talking to you right now, because the more you talk, the more I associate my own beliefs with what you're saying.
I think you've always believed your own thing, but never quite put a label on it.
No,
which is,
well, it doesn't.
Just
I
well
call
enough.
It,
it,
no,
it works
I call
for
it
you,
luck,
and you don't need a label. But
that's one thing I've never done is, like,
I don't like the concept of believing in something right. specific. I think that, like, bothers me.
For me, and this is just comes down to, like, me.
Yeah.
Well, or, and when you're trying to, I try to use magic in terms of affecting other people as minimally as possible. Like, if you want to put a love spell on someone, I'll totally tell you how to do it.
Yeah.
But I myself would never do it because, mm-hmm. like, it would affect my ego to some sense to know that that person didn't just love
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
I know that the reason I could never do that is because I've seen the Twilight Zone episode with Anne Francis called Jezebel, where she is a witch and she goes to this witch to get a love spell put on this person. But the price is she sells her soul and she becomes a jaguar at night. And she ends up, like, getting shot by the farmer in the barn because he's a fucking
karma,
jaguar
right?
after a minute. Of course. But he doesn't actually love her, and she knows that.
No, but
he loves the square blonde, and she hates that.
Yeah, but that's why I was trying to put it in the effect that, you know, it's not that you're making the person love you.
Right.
It's you're making the person that you love understand why they might love you. It's just giving them a kick. You know, it doesn't mean they're going to love you forever, but it's a way to, like, kick it into gear, and maybe that'll help you in the long run, you know? And you know, it might only be a kick of a split second. If you don't take that split second and make that, you know, your own second, then you've fucked up your entire
love
potion.
You're really petitioning the case of love spells to be more appeal. Like, there's more appeal to it when you say it that way. Because you're right, you could absolutely do that. But I think
love spells are much more than a roofie comfortable hotel room.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you can too. But if you think about something maybe like a court case, mm-hmm. where you want to affect other people to agree with you,
okay,
you know, like I'm saying, I would go full tilt on that.
Yeah. Oh yes.
You know what I
sure.
mean?
So
you got nothing to lose,
right? So, but I mean, like, you bring up, like, it comes down to your personal ethics, I suppose.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, what you are comfortable using magic for and not comfortable using magic for.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, karma and hell and all that stuff is, you know, put there to scare you when really, I mean, we are all out here kind of on your own with no repercussions. So to, you know, we put in place.
Yeah.
But we are governing ourselves here. Yeah.
We are. We ought to be anyway.
I like to think of the concept of humanity without any kind of rules as far as religion goes and how odd the future could be. And, you know, I don't think it can even be thought about by modern humans what would happen if there was no idea of an afterlife, or there was no idea.
Yeah, and I think about that a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about it a lot. We say that the whole idea of, like, the typical Christian religion type thing keeps some crazy hillbilly type people in place. Like, otherwise, would they be going around?
No, don't
say
hillbilly.
Trying to stereotype. It keeps a lot of people in place.
I mean, you know,
because,
which is fine. You know, it's good to have a belief.
It's good for them to not believe that murder's okay.
It's
and that going around
that's
raping
the only
and stealing and every terrible thing. If that is the only thing stopping them, then I'm glad
that's
something
the issue,
is stopping them.
Right.
Yeah, I think that most of us, hopefully, have gotten to a point. And I think people are actually moving away from religion as time goes on.
We really are.
And I think that's huge. And I think that that's good.
Even 50 years ago, it was so different.
I'm not particularly religious. My family isn't necessarily, but we do work in the religious game with our artwork and stuff like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Like,
so, you know, it's good. And I think that, like, if religion brings about a specific type of artwork or brings about some sort of passion, that's all that I care about, you know? Everybody needs passion from somewhere.
Right.
If the old lady down the street has nothing more to her life but the passion to go to church every single Sunday and enjoy the Lord's work and his prayer, then that's what it's there for. That's the only reason it needs to be there. You know, it's a beautiful thing. You know, it's wonderful. And a lot of Christians, a lot of Catholics would say otherwise. They would say, well, you know, no, it's there because it's God. You know, you're trivializing it. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm just trying to say for the people who aren't into that specific religion, like, you know, you shouldn't hate that religion, you know, because of what they believe. You should like that religion because of what it does. That's the beauty of religion. You know, like, even your witchcraft, even my luck, whatever my belief is, it doesn't need to be someone else's, but it keeps me going. You know what I mean? Well, that was pretty intense now, wasn't it, Drundle Files? That was our resident witch, Julie, from Devils in the Details, discussing the various ways that her religion involves some sort of a lock in a way, some sort of a fate in another way, and a bunch of spells. So, replacement of religion is religion. That's what we talked about a little bit. Everybody has their own views, and everybody follows their own paths. Trondometer never really judges people, as long as they don't try to convert us into anything. Up next, we've got something that I really didn't want to deal with, once again. An interview with our black cat, Little Devil. So, I hope that you enjoy him as little as I did making this interview. But he is awesome. It's just the way that we went about it. So, up next, interview with a black cat. So, Velda, do you have any questions for our littlest gentleman?
I do. Little Devil, tell me how you feel about meeting people, strangers, every single day throughout the house. Do you like talking to people, or?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I would say about you. Well, you don't seem to mind them at all.
I mean, they love you. Little Devil, do you realize that everybody that comes to this house for a tour, for a party, for anything, they're all coming here to see you?
Yeah, they end up talking to you most of the time, don't they, bud?
They like you better than they like me, that's for damn sure.
Well, what's your favorite place to sleep at Trondometer? Because I know you have the place... Did you realize that that main place that you sleep in the parlor is right underneath to...
To other mummified cats?
You did, yeah. Yeah, you did know. Okay, good.
Okay. I just thought you were a morbid little fuck. Like, I know you have a good sense of humor, but...
Well, he is, apparently.
Yeah.
You know, well, he knows that... Well, you know that we're not going to mummify you intentionally.
We would never. Little Devil, how do you feel about the little costumes that I make you wear? Like your fat 70s Elvis suit and your little bow tie. Do you like that?
Well, you don't have to get violent.
Jeez.
Velva's just trying to make you part of the household. We get dressed up as well.
Do you know how uncomfortable it is, Little Devil, wearing these corsets and these high heels? I mean, I like it, but people think it's cute.
Yeah. It's fine. No, it's fine. I know. I know it gets on your nerves. It's fine, but so what about birds? What do you think about birds, Little Devil? I know that you stare at them a lot. Crows, yeah, they are your favorite. Yeah. Those little ones are shits, aren't they?
Those little shits.
Well, I know you can catch them. I mean, you're faster than we are. When you're not eating. I'm sorry, but...
Well, I hope you're happy. I did a little bit more of Little Devil, and that interview that I can't stand, I don't think I can finish it. There's only like a minute and a quarter left. I just don't think I can. Maybe if I'm pressured into it like this time, I'll do it. But really, don't make me play this cutesy bullcrap on my Trundlecast. Okay. Maybe next time. Out.
Welcome to Velda's Movie Trivia Vault, and this week being a movie night week, I'll be asking a question relating to one of the movies that we're showing. So my question is, who were two of the original choices for the band that would star in Rock and Roll High School before the Ramones were finally, thankfully, chosen? You can think on that, and I will get back to you with the answer on next week's show. Thank you, Trundle Files.
There you have it, Trundle Files, the end of yet another Trundlecast. I hope you enjoyed the second installment of our Vampire, Witch, and Black Cat series. As always, we had some drinks, some friends, and some trivia. Now, with even more unique music mixed in, thank you to Julie Lynn of Devils in the Details and Brian Vamp for those haunting melodies.
Of course, thank you to Villy Dawn Trundle for solving that mystery she posed, and Velda von Minx for, well, everything. Tune in a week for the next episode, and while you're waiting, visit trundlemanor.com, where you'll be able to see a list of all of our future events, like gallery shows and movie nights, or book a tour and experience the manor all by yourself. Be sure to peruse our videos and photo pages to get a glimpse into the lives of its inhabitants. And you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr just by typing Trundle Manor into the search boxes. Don't forget to send your stories of Trundle Manor, both unusual and unnatural, to the Trundlecast at trundlemanor.com. We may even read them right here. Now cut off your ears and stick them in a jar, because it's useless until we talk to you again on the next Trundlecast. Good evening. I want to be loved by you da 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 da